Welcome back, family. We've been doing this show for a few years now, and over that time, we've had some pretty amazing guests. See, we truly think of all of our guests and listeners as family, so we try to keep track of all of our new aunts, uncles, and cousins. Every now and again, we get the chance to catch up with family and we jump at the opportunity. Aaron Stevenson is one of our favorite cousins, and it's been a few years since we talked on the mic, so we had to ask her about the Janet Jackson residency she just completed, and the last time she was here, she was just launching her solo career, so you know we had to get an update on that. Now, everyone knows that when family gets together, no conversation ends where it started. So, we were all over the place, but we still had an amazing time, and we know you're going to love this one. Take a listen, let us know what you think. Let's go. Welcome back, family. I'm back with one of the people who we're doing this a lot lately, but we want to make sure we're reaching out to the people who were there when we started. And so I got another one of our family from, I think it might have been 3 or 4 years ago. We were just kind of getting new to this thing, and that recording, if it's still available, probably sounds like pure garbage. But that's okay, because we made family and we had a conversation, and she has graciously come back to us. And I spent a lot of time without ever actually saying her name and introducing her. But last time I don't think I asked you, I think I just called you cousin. What position in the family you want to be?
We cousin.
All right. This is my cousin.
Second cousin.
All right. Because the second cousin is the one that show up without the food, because they just there to grow.
Oh, wait, no. But we take care of each other, though, still.
Yeah, no, nah, nah. Okay. If it's going all down, right. I can hit the, you know, the do-do-do, and
you're
on the way, yeah.
Okay.
All the way from Texas, you know, currently in L.A. Don't say the Bay. She's from Texas, y'all.
Already.
My cousin, Aaron Stevens.
Yeah. We back like we never left.
Man. So, full disclosure, we have never stopped communicating with Aaron, never stopped supporting her.
That's true.
A lot of these questions I'm asking, I'm just asking so y'all can know. But hey, man, that's what an interview is, I suppose.
Yeah, but I still think it's mighty dope of y'all to reach back out, you know? And, you know, for us, you know, a lot of people, you know, some people lose this part of it because of social media and everything. Everybody gets a little disconnected. But I think it's quite commendable that we've kept in touch all this time and kept, you know, up with each other's progress and, like, still down to be there and post for each other and interview each other and all that stuff, you know, during the climb. So that's, I think that's really dope.
So, okay, there's some people, we've got some new listeners since this. So I don't want to assume that everybody knows who you are. So why don't you break it down for them?
Well, I am a background singer for all of your for pretty much all of your favorite artists, just about. I've been singing since a kid, and now maybe about 2.5 years ago now, I started pursuing my own career, and a lot has happened since we last talked, which was at the very beginning of this pursuing stage, and now I got like 4 singles out, a top 10 hit that happened, and one single that came out this year, and another single that comes out on the 30th.
On Spotify, on all the DSPs, you ain't got no excuse. Don't say your family if you're not going to listen to your cousin's song.
You doggone right.
We coming. All right, she's from Texas. We're going to hit the road and see each one of y'all individually.
Because we don't pay that, homie.
If you see us at your door, we just lost. We're not really knocking.
Just give us some food. We'll keep going. No.
We ain't got no money, so don't be asking for no handouts, neither.
Because we're knocking at they door. They don't ask us for money.
So, all right. I think the most recent single dropped on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Make It Last Forever.
Yep.
How did you decide to tackle, I guess, one of the biggest songs in history?
That's Listen, yeah, Keith Sweat apparently thought the same thing. Cause
you got smoke with Keith?
No, we straight. It's all good.
Okay.
But because you know he doesn't grant clearance to use his songs for just any, you know, everybody wants to use Keith Sweat samples and you know and. Because all his songs are like massive hits for R&B. So, you know, it was really coincidental. We were trying to reach out to him to get the okay to use the sample in the music. And coincidentally, somebody sent me, one of the guys on my team, an interview of him on the radio station as we were talking. He was doing an interview. And he was talking about how many people always are reaching out to him to use his songs, and like the day before, I was on Twitter just looking at his account, trying to, who can I get to him? And all I said was, hey, Keith, can I use this song? Hey, Keith, can I use this song? Hey, Keith, can I use this song? And so I knew he wasn't lying because I saw it with my own eyes. And so on the interview, he was saying that he hardly ever says yes to anybody to use his stuff because, you know, he's got hit. So I hadn't received a response and, you know, via email or text message yet from everything that we had sent to them. So I was just like, oh, man, here we go. I'm just another person in the bunch trying to use this single. And coincidentally, we got the okay. Not coincidentally, thankfully, we got the okay to use it. So no smoke at all. No smoke at all, man. I consider it a blessing because, as you just said, it's one of like the greatest songs ever in the history of R&B. So I'm pretty blessed. And if I could say I feel lucky, I feel absolutely lucky. So we're working on some other stuff now, trying to get, you know, with Universal to knock out a couple of, you know, dotted I's and cross T's. But he's all the way in the know. So I'm grateful.
And there's a new one coming soon, right?
Yep.
What's that one?
Juicy. It's called Juicy.
See, I don't know. Can I listen to this song with my mama in the car?
Yeah, you can listen to all my songs with your mom in the car and the kids and the grandkids and your third cousins and everybody else.
No excuses.
No, they're all fun and they have, you know, titles to make you listen, you know, but the subject matter is something for the entire world to hear. And I may put it, you know, on top of a dance beat, but there's definitely a message in everything that I write.
And that's on purpose?
On purpose, absolutely.
So you're doing the music thing, mm-hmm. and that's going well. When can I see you? Mm-hmm. You're going to hit the road?
You know what? That has been the plan. We talked about it earlier this year, because that's where I thrive. Should I say, on stage, I personally think I'm my best when people get to experience me live, then they get to feel me, understand me, hear me, all the above, and then they fall even more in love with the song. So that's the plan, man. I am speaking and claiming a tour called The Naked Experience, because my first album was called Naked, and I intend on my next album, our EP, we're figuring it out now, because the songs have already been written, and I just got to get in the studio and record them, because the music's already done as well. But I know it's going to be called Experience. So the plan is to have a tour called The Naked Experience. And, yo, we got some booking agents and some promoters who are looking for the next R&B sensation. Because it's Tom. That's the plan.
Well, family, I know y'all want to get good music in your town. So reach out to whoever you need to reach out to and bring your cousin to town so that y'all can get it right from the woman, hear her sing, make it last forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of my mouth.
I want to talk about when we first talked, you were doing the background singer thing for years, and the names that you could list were who's who of the 80s and the 90s. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you were kind of, like you said, you're taking a step back and you were focusing more on yourself. And I want to come back to you focusing on yourself, but you've been doing something special for the last few months.
I have. You know, I always tell people I still got to keep my lights on. until I am the mega star. But I've totally slowed down, you know, compared to what to when we first spoke years ago. But as of late, I just wrapped up Saturday, actually, the Janet Jackson residency in Las Vegas. We were doing the Metamorphosis shows at Park MGM. So I just wrapped that up with her, and it was quite incredible, actually.
Now, I may be naive, but I'm guessing she's just not calling anybody to come sing with her.
Heck no. No, everybody there is absolutely chosen, no doubt. And they're supposed to be there. Yeah, and everybody's of like minds and souls, seems like. We actually really all do get along, so. Mm. No, and she's pretty good about keeping the same team, which is, I guess, one of the... I can't speak for her when I say this, but it's something that I've observed. And if I have to say it, I've taken something from working with her, it would definitely be this. And that's keeping the people, you know, keeping people around you that you already know that you love and love working with, you keep them there. When you've got that synergy, you keep them there. So she's really good about keeping the same team around her.
So what's that like? Is it just a everyday grind? What is it like to do a residency?
Yeah, well, once you get in the groove, it gets, you know, a little smooth. But prior to, because it's Vegas, mm-hmm. So everything is lights and glamour and staging, and it's a bit grander than just a regular concert because you got Cirque du Soleil at the next hotel next door. So everything has to be able to compete with those types of shows as well. So we put in a lot of hours and a lot of work prior to. Now, once you get going and the shows start, it's smooth sailing, should I say. I mean, it doesn't mean that the hard work ends, but the long hours and the long nights, that comes a little bit to a halt. Now it's just showtime, and you pretty much become the machine that's already in motion. And then you go upstairs and go to sleep if you're smart. And do it all again the next day.
So no late nights on the strip?
No, man. Everybody thinks it's so fun to live in a hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. Let me tell you, no, it's the complete opposite. First of all, I'm there to make money, not lose money. Second of all, I still got bills, so I can't be gambling every day after every show. No. Third of all, I can't be drunk every day because it's free alcohol everywhere, or alcohol, buy one, get one free everywhere, or clubs everywhere. So you can't be drunk every day, or for somebody like me who's a singer, I won't have no voice because I'm still there to do a job. Can't be in clubs partying it up because I won't be good or of any use for what I'm there to really do. So after a while of, you know, knowing what the scene is going to be like, you find yourself just in your room looking at four walls all the time, because even just to go to shows and such, that stuff is expensive too. To eat good food is expensive, you know, blah, blah, blah. I sound like I'm complaining, but I promise you I'm not. You just have to learn how to navigate and not forget that you're still there to do a job. And it'll still be fun.
It seems like that's the wave now, is that a lot of artists now are going to Vegas to do residencies. Did you catch any shows while you were there, or it was all work?
This time was all work. I've seen a lot of Vegas, like such disarray shows. Have I seen any concerts while I was there? No, I can't say that I have in Las Vegas. I mean, I did the J-Lo residency last year while I was there. But, yeah, that would be it in regards to, like, singers' concerts. No.
So we just going to have to wait for your residency.
Boom. Give me about, are you playing, though? I have been asked, while being out there, to do so many, like, Vegas impersonation shows. Mm. I've gotten asked to impersonate Janet Jackson. And I'm like, people, don't you understand that I'm here singing with this woman? You think I'm about to quit singing with her to impersonate her? No! That's crazy!
Hey, they got to shoot their shot, though. Like, if you don't ask, yeah, you don't know.
But I'm sorry, since you, and it's very true. But I've gotten asked to do Tina Turner. I've gotten asked to do Diana Ross. So, you know, but.
Oh, so you didn't open the door now. What Diana Ross would you sing?
I'm not ready for impersonation. oh, they want me to do like a residency, like we're talking about, where I just do a catalog and am a Diana Ross show. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it'll be a slew of her hits.
Some of our younger cousins won't know, unfortunately, who Diana Ross is. Did you ever think you'd get to that point? Like, where the people you thought was the ones are like, who is that to the young folk?
No, I never thought that that would happen, but it has. But let me tell you what else is trippy, though, believe it or not. There's this whole younger generation who knows more about older music than some of it's like this gap that took place. But then there's the younger people after them who knows all about these people because, like, they started being raised on good music and they don't like the music that's coming out today.
I must not have run into any of those because my young bucks were staring at me like,
really?
Yeah.
I'm saying at some high school like events and some middle school events, maybe within the past 2 years, and I would be sitting up there looking dumbfounded, like, how do they know these words for these songs? And they would be like, and I, of course, I asked, and that would be their response. It would be, well, it's good music. I wish we had some of these kind of songs like now. And there's a lot of maybe from the ages of maybe 29 to, let's say, 24 who have no idea of the songs that we're talking about right now. And it's the ones younger than them who do.
We're going to open a school and teach some of y'all.
School is officially in session.
We are not.
No, but it's class. Class is officially in session.
We're not down in, artists making money, because God bless them. But
no, go get it.
There's some artists out there who I would love to introduce to some music to see what it would change about how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. It changed their approach to some stuff. Great, I agree.
So you just finished on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You now got all this free time, or you had a plan ready to go?
Well. I always think I'm going to have free time, and I always have a plan, and the plan always gets changed, and then that free time is gone, but I still have to implement the plan, which means I thought I was going to have 2 weeks off, and then I was going to, jump into gear, but no. So tomorrow, just as of tomorrow, I have a TV taping for this new indie show that's coming out called Indie Spotlight. Then on Saturday, I'm speaking for a charity event. Then on next Saturday, I have, next Friday, the 30th, I have my single release concert type thing. And then I leave to go on a week situation with Duran Duran. And then after Duran Duran, I come back, I have a charity event, a couple of shows in between. Then I'll be at the Viper Room later on, September.
You're not just going to drop Duran Duran in the Viper Room like they just some casual things. You out there doing it.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not complaining by any means because I'm trying to get my own tour going. And this is a part of the process. I accept it. I embrace it. And I enjoy it because if I didn't have nothing to tell you, then I'd really be complaining, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's all good.
So all the hard work and all of that, are you starting to see a point where it's paying off?
Absolutely. I was talking to a friend of mine who works with a lot of major artists, and, I forget because I've been in the industry so long that I literally, maybe this is 2019, so maybe about 2.5 years now, just really started embarking upon my own solo situation. And of course, in this, embarking upon it, the music industry totally shifted on us. And he brought it to my attention that I had accomplished way more than I thought that I had. And he was correct. And every day I see another glimpse of light in the sky from the clouds parting from all the hard work, whether it be financially, whether it just be messages from people who have heard my music who say that it's touched them. That in itself is enough gratification for me. Of course, we want the money and the fame and all that, blah, blah, blah. But without purpose, it really means nothing in the first place. So, yeah, I'm totally seeing it. Next up for me is, like I said, would be a tour, a major tour for Aaron Stevenson. That would be next up. That I would say, all right, another major stepping stone. But absolutely, man, I have no complaints. Enjoy the process because you don't get this again.
So I remember you telling me that you love to dance too. Is the tour going to be like one of them Beyonce type, you know, big production type deals where you just all over the stage getting it done, or are you going to stand in one place and blow out eardrums with this amazing voice? What's going on?
Combination.
Okay.
Because as an artist, as a, you know, I've done big stages and major productions. I've also done shows, you know, I mean, like with other artists, to experience what it's like to stand there and blow people's hands out of the water. Now for me, and it's something that I feel like, if I could tell, you know, anyone who's listening to this who is a new artist or who wants to be an artist, figure out who you are and what you want to present. And for me, I can dance. I can do choreography. I can do all that crap. I don't want to call it crap. I can do all of that. But I found that I think I'm at my best as Aaron Stevenson, the artist, when I'm free to do whatever the hell I want to do on stage. And, so I think that is where I will position myself for my live shows. I have a band, I have live music, and whatever the music and the energy of the audience tells me to do, that's exactly what I do. Now, that does mean high energy. That means I have nothing but energy to give. I'm dancing all over the place, but in the same instance, I don't mind standing there and singing to you so that you hear and feel everything that I'm saying as well. So I'm going to say a combination. Tina Turner and me, Anita Baker or something. I don't know.
What's your favorite song to sing?
Of mine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough. That's like asking which is your favorite kid. Right now, it's Juicy.
Okay.
So I have to say it's Juicy, only because it's super fun, and I find myself partying to my own song while I'm singing. And it's because I really mean what the hell I'm saying in that song. Those lyrics are so real to me, and I wrote that song for everybody in the world, literally, in the world. I didn't care what you were, who you were having sex with, who you're not having sex with, what you look like, your skin tone, where you're from, all the above. It's more so about falling in love with you, who you are, and getting yourself to that happy place, because I feel like that's what's missing in the world now, because there's so much stuff happening on the news, politically, all this hate stuff running around. I just feel like if everybody loved themselves more, self would be more of the focus opposed to all the negativity that's going around. And yeah, so in short, that's part of the reason why I wrote Juicy. So I have a good time when I'm singing that song because I mean it. Well, I mean everything I sing, but I kind of lose myself in that one.
You get me excited for this song. When can I hear it now?
Well, you can pre-order it now on iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. It'll be available everywhere, like Spotify, streaming anywhere on August 30th, so next Friday.
All right, look, all of y'all have no excuse. You got a week's notice. You can mark it down, send yourself a note, set an email reminder, whatever. In 1 week,
yep,
we need to go ahead and put our cousin on the map.
Yes, everybody jump on board. I don't like using the word fan. So I have these group of like-minded people called Soldiers, S-O-U-L-D-I-E-R-S on Facebook. And if you're listening, head on over to Facebook Soldiers and join us. We're trying to change the world one person at a time, heart and mind, just by attempting to make it a happier place. That's all. That's all I want to do with my music is sing from my soul and sing my truth. That's it, man.
Go give everybody the Facebook and the Instagram.
Yeah, so all my social media is Aaron Stevenson. find me anywhere on social media under Aaron Stevenson. The website is aaronstevensonmusic.com. And I do all like the backstage stuff or the first access to anything to my soldiers. And they're on Facebook under Facebook Soldiers. So if you go to Facebook, once again, type in S-O-U-L, like soul, D-I-E-R-S. And that's where we'll all be. Join us. It's a movement.
And I want to give a shout out to Greg, Aaron's husband, because somebody told me he does the artwork for your albums.
He does do the artwork for my album. Yeah, all my cover art has been done by him.
And if you look at, I found it on Spotify because I'm locked in. They got my money. I can't, move on. But, it's too hard to be switching after you. At a certain point, young cousins, you're just tired, and you got other bills to worry about. Like, I'm not changing at this point.
Heck no.
Don't tell me what's better. Don't tell me that, this person over here got more me. I'm here.
Give me some music. Just give me some music. Just give me what I want.
You ever wonder why your grandparents just stop updating their clothes? They're tired.
They quit. As long as they can get out the house with something on their back, they're all right.
He gonna wear that velour sweatsuit until he's gone. Just let it happen. No one's wearing Rough Riders anymore, but that's what he's gonna do.
What? Did you just say?
What? Oh, you don't have nobody that's still rocking the Rough Riders velour. They got from Marshalls back in the day.
My goodness.
You from Texas. I know you didn't see it.
I do. I was trying to think of something to trump it, but I couldn't. I sure couldn't.
The velour wasn't quite right.
I couldn't stop the velour. What is velvet? What is that? Velvet? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Coogee could still be dope.
He just spray it down with Downy each night, put on a new white tee in the morning.
That's right. Get you on them Downy wipes and just take, them Downy wipes that you put in the dryer, the Downy sheets. And rub them across your clothes. Looks like you came straight out the dryer. Did I just say straight out the dryer? I did just say straight out the dryer.
We're going to edit all of that out.
People know me, man. They know all about my countryness, my realness. I can properly formulate a sentence with my teeth, so it's okay.
You put me in front of the right people, you'll hear a different type of talk.
Yo, I'm just saying, me too. That just means I'm really comfortable when my southern drawl comes out.
Well, I don't even know where we were before all that.
me either. Velvet, velour sweatshirt. Cover art.
Cover
art. Saw the cover art.
Yeah, it's real nice. He drew it. So listen, it's a whole contained operation. So you're not just supporting her; you're supporting the family. You owe us.
Boom! You already know.
We're going to be in these streets.
We're going to keep it.
We already told you we're looking for y'all. Okay?
Open the door when we come.
Have a plate. Ready. Okay? No tofu. No whatever that impossible burger is. You had the impossible burger?
Yeah, I tried it. I sure did. I thought you was about to ask. I did.
It's not bad, but it's not
beef. Where did you have yours from? What did you eat yours at?
I had it at Burger King.
Okay. I haven't tried Burger King. I couldn't get Impossible Burger. I kept calling it the Unbelievable Burger. I had mine from, I think it's called, it's out here in California, called Umami.
I never heard of that one.
Umami?
Umami?
Umami Burger. Boy, I probably messed that thing up real good. But people in California, they're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But, because now the Burger Kings and stuff like that, they're jumping on board. Because, I be with all those dancers and everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody's vegan. So I tried one. And I was pleasantly surprised. I don't have nothing to say.
I mean, I could eat it. It's not, beef.
You think it's mental? If you didn't know that it was in beef, would you still eat it?
Yeah, I still eat it. Back in the day, I used to work at a snack bar at the pool. And, you know, we would... all right, here's a dirty little secret about a snack bar at the pool. When you're not watching, all you're doing is taking it out of the wrapper, throwing it in a little toaster oven, and then handing it to you. Them burgers are made of nothing but soy. So that's what an Impossible Burger tastes like. I have ruined the mystery for so many people.
No. I got some. You share a secret. Can I share a secret with you?
Go ahead.
Okay. We're helping somebody right now, because we're helping somebody. Tell them. I was so nervous to get coffee on airplanes.
Word?
Yep. Don't ever get coffee off of airplanes.
Why?
Because it's nothing but the tube water. And they figure because it's the heat that, and then they don't really clean the coffee pot. I hear it's just a bad situation. The water is not the cleanest water to drink.
Now, I've heard horrible things about flying on airplanes from the cleanliness. Like, they might not actually, those pillows, if they might reuse them, or the blankets for sure they reuse. They don't even steam clean them or nothing. They just bang, put it on your body. And some of you nasty folk cousins, I think
you don't know.
Family, we tell each other the truth. Don't be coming on the plane with no socks on, just touching the. That's nasty. That's just nasty. Like, why? And don't be having shorts on neither. Like, you don't let your body touch the seats. Like,
don't let them touch them feet.
I see y'all, and I be judging. I don't say nothing, but I be watching.
I'll be watching.
Like, and don't put your face directly on the seat. Like, what's wrong with y'all?
Oh, no. Don't,
you know what I'm talking about? You've seen
them.
You done seen
them. Uh-huh.
Yep. And I be thinking, like, your mama ain't love you.
They tell you she didn't teach you better.
No. You can't. Stop that. Stop
it. It's true, though.
I'm going to start telling people on the plane, too.
Ever.
I'm going to put up little business cards.
Everybody be getting sick.
Yeah. And you on a flight for 18 hours to, you know, you done told everybody you're going to Dubai and infecting yourself. Nasty. Yep.
You're sitting there touching everything, putting your face and hands on everything. Everything's coming in contact with your skin and everything. Yep. It's true.
And stop it's having true. Your music so loud, too. Come on now. Like, I'm on here, too.
Oh, my God.
Please.
I just experienced this girl, and I felt so bad because, man. So I was at the airport. Well, before I walked to my gate, and it was nothing but white people. You know, nothing but white people. And I'm looking around, and there's one black girl. And I'm looking at all these white people looking so miserable. But they're too afraid to say anything to her because she's black. and we know the current climate of our country right now.
But say you haven't used that to your advantage before.
No. But my cousin, when I say she was loud, I mean, she was loud, like she wanted people to hear her because she thought that she really could sing.
Oh,
and
no.
You know me, I don't be shooting people down like that.
Oh, no.
But you know, you're calling. If it ain't your calling, it's just not your calling. And honey, when I say she was loud, beyond like she wanted people to hear her because you could tell by the runs that she was doing, she actually thought she could sing. And they were too scared to tell her that she, you know, that, and I felt so bad because here I am, another black woman, and they're looking at me like, can you help us, please?
You gonna get this one?
And one guy, yes. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. And I don't be laughing at people, but I couldn't take it. I have to admit, this is the one time my laughter won the battle, and the people around me knew exactly what I was laughing at. And one guy was like, "Can you?" He said it too. He said. And I just couldn't do anything because I couldn't stop laughing. It was the worst experience. So, yeah, and one of our kinfolk, she lived down in the airport, But I was laughing too much, Steven. I guess I'm wrong too, huh? Okay, I'll take it. Because I should have said something, but I'm talking about it and I just helped myself because I should have said something. I was letting us look bad in that foot. But she wanted to look bad. No, because she thought she sounded good. So I couldn't ruin her dreams. I'm not a dream wrecker. I couldn't do it.
You know what I'd be worried about?
But it was funny.
Is like when you travel internationally and you're the only black face that you've seen for a couple hours, and now you got the weight of the entire race on your shoulders.
That's right.
Man, I was in Asia, and it was, oh my God, I was every black person they'd ever thought they met. I saw you last night on the TV. I'm like, ho, come on, first, don't run up on me. In America, we need a little bit more warning before you just pop up in my space.
Because of the face, but they don't believe in that. I don't think they believe that, but it sounds really prejudiced to say what I'm about to say, but until you experience it, then you understand it. Like, I think for a lot of people, it's really good to experience other cultures. That way, certain things will make sense to you, and it won't just be a prejudice. Like, I've been over there, too, and they walk like that. They just walk on top of each other. They drive like that. You know, it's their way of life. So it's not anything rude that they're trying to do. Yeah. They're not trying to be rude. That's just how they are, over there.
And somebody had to explain it to me because I was like, yo, this is getting out of hand. I'm really, offended by this. And they said, you have to understand, you might be the only black person they've ever seen and will ever see in their life.
Yes. And I had one point at me like I was an animal, like I was a circus animal. Like that, and they had never seen it before.
I tried to give them a pass.
It was a little girl, though. You gave them a pass?
I tried to give them a pass, but they kept, I have locks. And the constant, don't just walk up and touch somebody's lock. That happened to me in the States, though. I'm standing on a street corner, a Caucasian woman walked up and reached over and said, are these extensions? I'm sorry. If I didn't run the risk of being arrested right now, ma'am.
Are these extensions? Because it can't just be your hair.
All right, don't. If you want to ask, that's fine, but don't reach over and tug.
Man, listen. Every time, this is the second time, right? And every time we start talking, we just be talking. So I'm going to tell my story now, too. Okay, Kevin. So, ma'am, I was at the pool once, and I was out on tour with, an artist. And we have a really huge, most of the artists, I think, we have a huge, huge fan base. Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. And so they knew that we were there on a break, before the show. So we're out of the pool, and you know, same thing with my hair. Because I have natural hair. I have a big natural afro. I can straighten it. I can curl it. I can do whatever I want to do to it, pretty much. And tomorrow it'll look like a totally different person's head. So, it'll be long. It can look long. It can look short. It can look full. It can look thin. It's like what we want to do today, hair. So, we're at the pool, and I'm laying out, relaxing, so I thought. And I see these two ladies sitting there on the side, and I see them look at me, and I'm like, all right, it's cool, because I'm a real personable type person. Everybody knows that. I'm just one of those kind of people. But she sees that I'm just laying there relaxing. So she just gets up, and she comes over, and I knew she was going to come, so it's okay. But the first words out of her mouth were, my friend is a hairstylist, and she told me not to do this, but I'm going to do it. And she just touches my hair and, pulls it. And it was so quick that I didn't have enough time to gather my reaction. One, because I'm the only black person out there. And, we got to represent for the people. And we know before today starts, so no one thinks that we're angry or we're this or you can't talk to them because that's not the case. But I started to pull myself together, and I was like, well, if your friend told you not to do that.
Why you walk your mind over here?
Why did you do it? And I say, it's okay. I really totally don't mind you touching my hair, but ask at least, or if I'm, may I? Because you're curious. And that would have been fine. But she told you not to do it. and you did it anyway. So you knew that this was going to be offensive, but you decided to do it anyway. She said, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, it's okay. Just the next time, not even me, but it was anyone. Please ask before you do that. And I said, because it's not even a color thing. Everybody don't want you all up in their hair like they are in their head. It doesn't matter who you are. You're just going up, touching people's head and pulling their hair. Like, excuse me. And you don't know them like that. You know, to some people that could be extremely rude. And luckily I'm nice, because had you done that to the wrong person, this wouldn't be the same situation. So, it could have went real sideways real quick, because she didn't give any heads up. She just went for it. But she knew what she was doing.
I think the moral to this story is, don't be touching people you don't know. I think in life, y'all, cousins, don't just touch people you don't know. That's how you catch a case.
I think it's a hair thing, though, you know. It's really a hair thing. I've known some people even who aren't black who have that same issue with people just come and put on their hair, because truth be told, I've been getting extensions way before we even knew about it. before it became super popular in the black community, white people have been getting hair extensions. So they don't talk about it much because they're real hush-hush about that. It's just,
Not to stay on hair. But I was at the shop one day, and I'm not going to tell you where or nothing like that, because I don't want to put nobody on blast. But a gentleman came in. He was a well-dressed gentleman, but his hair was a little, it wasn't all there. And while I was sitting there under the dryer, which for any man that has locks or hair that needs to be dried is the worst experience that you could ever possibly imagine, because you're now in this shop and women have now decided that it's your right to represent for the whole male species for whatever question they've ever thought to answer. So I'm suffering through that, and I look over and they start drawing lines on my man's head, and it started with a circle all the way around.
Uh-oh. The chili bone?
Huh?
Wait. Are you talking about a chili bowl haircut?
No. They drew a line. It was like a little yellow chalk thing or whatever. And then they started applying this little, I didn't know what it was at first. Then I realized it was a glue.
Oh, the man wig.
And they put this thing on my man's head. And then he took some clippers and cut it so that it looked like my man had a full head of hair. But we're not done.
Uh-uh.
Then he took the bundles and he twisted locks into this man's head.
Oh.
And when he left, this man had locks as long as mine. And I'm just staring I didn't know that was a thing. I knew about the little semi-permanent, what you call it? The hair pieces. Yeah. I didn't know that they would just do the whole boom, here's locks, go ahead.
Well, listen, anything is possible these days. Nah. Do you remember that episode? I mean that anything is possible. But I had seen the man wigs before where they grew them down and then they'll paint the edges on so that you can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call it spray paint, but you see some guys
Beijing.
Yes, honey, and it looks like I'm telling you, it's too perfect. But I didn't know that. I have not seen it to the extremities where they made dreadlocks out of the man wig. I haven't seen that. I have to admit that one. I've seen a lot of things, brother, but I haven't seen that one.
And to be honest with you, then I started to understand what people were asking me all the time: are those extensions? Apparently, it's more widespread than I thought.
Yeah.
Lord knows.
Well, 2019, anything's possible.
So when you're out here on the road,
let's see what's next.
When you're out here on the road, I want you to stare at everybody's head, suspect.
Well, you know, it's real. Where I come from, that's why dudes be complaining about these lace front wigs and stuff, too. I remember coming up, like, it wasn't necessarily a good thing for people to know that you had a weave. Like, the whole point of the weave was to know that you didn't have a weave.
Right.
Now I think people don't care. They just be having glue and just everything. These lace fronts, I have to admit, these lace fronts be wearing me out.
If you're going
to get lace front wigs, my God, please, Jesus, y'all, get them done properly. Please get them done properly.
Like, I really don't know.
Get your installs.
I was watching The Real Housewives of one of them. I don't know which one it was. And they were talking about how this wig and that wig. And I was like, I honestly thought it was all y'all hair. So I'm easily fooled.
Well, like dreadlocks or man weed. I mean, just saying. These days, anything is possible.
Right.
But the whole point of it, like, for me, do what you do, man, as long as it looks good. Don't get it done and everybody can tell that you've got, you know what I'm saying? Get it done properly. If you're going to do it, get it done properly to where whatever you're getting done looks like it's yours. You know what I'm saying? At least make it look like it's yours.
So we done got way off into the weeds. And
I know. How did we get here?
This is what happens when you know your second cousin come in town and y'all just be talking.
Yes.
So let's bring it back to the music. You got the song releasing August 30th.
Yes.
You're going to hit the road and get out here with the soldiers and put, to use the, I've been watching The Wire lately. You're going to put this work in the streets.
Put this work in the streets. Come on.
And
say that.
Show people how it's really done.
Well, yes, sir.
So what's up next after that?
Well, that is what's up next after that. Planning, like I said, preferably the tours, what comes next. I've already started working on a follow-up. We're writing.
Okay.
The songs are already pretty much written. So we're figuring out now how to implement that into my schedule to be able to record it and release it, because I want to keep giving you guys music and, you know, and more of my truth through my music. I want to keep giving it to you. So that's the plan right now. Everything else is already pretty much set so far. I mean, like I said, between preferably a tour, but definitely another album.
So we're not going to wait for another 4 years to go by before we do this again.
No, we can't. We absolutely can't.
We do this
and
too well.
We got to promise each other the bigger and bigger that we both get, we still got to be there for each other. Keep, you know.
Oh, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I can't promise you anything other than that.
Oh, I'll come get you. I know how to find you, believe it or not.
You going to start calling me by one letter?
Uh-huh.
You going to have to talk to me through somebody? I'm going to be ignorant with mine. not ignorant. So I'm going to be ignorant.
Please talk to my manager.
Things in my house I have no business with.
That's right.
Why do you have a giraffe in a living room? Where else he was going to go?
Like it.
He can't fit upstairs. Come on now, that's a giraffe.
Now, I do want a monkey. I do want a bubble.
No.
Monkeys are my favorite.
I've heard bad
though.
Things about Bubbles, man. Like, towards the end, it went bad. And Bubbles had to go over in the corner and you couldn't get near him.
Really?
Man, monkeys, man, they're real nice when they're little. I mean, I guess just like kids. Parents, please don't hate me for this. But at a certain point, don't you just kind of want your kids to go away and come back at like 24?
Oh, so you think they have it's just like having it. Well, monkeys have a longer lifespan than dogs.
Yeah.
Now, I could talk about that because I got a dog. Everybody knows who you are. And I tell you, when I say, I love animals. I initially wanted to be a veterinarian when I was a kid, but I cried too much, so that wasn't going to work. I mean, like a taxi, but for animals.
So you cried too much when?
Yeah. Like if I saw dead animals or hurt animals, I would cry. I would cry, which means I can't operate on them.
Yeah, you and can't I kind of understood that
at an early age. But I love animals. I love them. I love them. But I was about to say, like, even having Leroy. Leroy is, it's almost worse than having a kid. But, I mean, he has torn ligaments in one of his legs right now, and we found out that his doctor bill would possibly be $4,000. I'm like, for my dog? Really?
Do they have insurance for dogs? Like, can you put them?
They do.
Put them on your Blue Cross
animal insurance. It's a separate thing. There is a separate animal insurance. Yep.
Man, see, look, I want one of them. I want a greyhound, so I already know I'm gonna be catching a heavy bill.
Yeah. With different dogs come different issues. So I mean, like, my dog's just crazy though. He's fine. He's just crazy. Ain't no telling how Leroy did what he did. I have no idea. No idea. But, you know, like with certain dogs, some of them have like breathing issues. Some of them have, you know, just different things come with different breeds. So do your research when you're choosing your dog. But sometimes it affects their lifespan. And you may not even care. You just want the dog. But, yeah, just certain little health issues that eventually come into play. See, veterinarian, just saying.
We did it again. I'm not even sure how we got the dogs.
Dogs and dogs.
Yeah, it's because I'm going to change and get ignorant. That's what's going to happen.
That's right. And I want a monkey, and then like we get a little hipster by monkey. And then we get the dogs and dog insurance. Okay.
Look, cousins, y'all know how I go with the family reunion. That conversation never ends up where it started at.
No. Okay, I'm back. I'm ready. I'm focused.
Okay, all right. So we've agreed that you're going to stay the same and I'm going to get ignorant.
And you're going to change.
But I'm still going to come to all your concerts. So I guess I'm not going to change too much.
If I let you in. It's if I let you in, though. If you get too out of control, then I'm going to have to put my manager on you.
I'm going to ride up on the zebra and you're going to let me in.
Because then sometimes, you got to show people in order for them to understand. So when you become that way, you make me have to communicate to you through your manager. And you're like, well, I'm coming to the show. I'm her cousin, whatever. And then I've had to talk to your manager. I'm like, manager, tell him to come. Tell him to come.
So come on.
And then you're going to come to the show. And I'm going to talk to my manager. And get your own taste of your own medicine.
So you're gonna give me an intervention.
Bring it back down. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be your intervention. I'm gonna have to show you.
So we're gonna have to then we're gonna book another conversation in less than 6 months, so I can make sure that you're staying straight, and you can make sure that I'm getting too big for my britches.
So just some check-ins. That's right. I agree. Somebody asked me, she's one of my soldiers, and she asked me, she was out in Vegas, and she said, do you know what you do for people? Do you know the capacity of how you really help people? And I was like, yes, but no, I don't. And then she started to attempt to explain, and I was like, I don't want to know, because sometimes when you know, then you start trying, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather just exist in the space that I'm in and exist as Aaron, but do whatever it is that I'm called to do without it being thought out or contrived. So if I ever get to as big and high and mighty for my own business, I don't think I would like that girl. I don't think I would like myself. I like who I am now. I mean, of course, I want to elevate and continue to educate myself and to continue to help other people and, you know, receive all my blessings. But I don't ever want to get too big for myself where everything becomes thought out and not just a natural act. Because I know.
We promise to let you know.
If you get I know you will.
Yeah, if you're getting out of control, we're going to tell you.
I know you will, and you better tell me too.
Man.
Real friends tell you the truth. It'll be them fake ones who keep gassing you up, telling you how incredible you are all the time and how right you are all the time.
You ever couldn't wait to tell somebody they was out of control? Like, you say, oh, yeah, I'm mad. Nah, invite them over. I got it.
I've been waiting for this day. I knew it was coming.
You think I'm not going to say it? No. You don't understand. I've been waiting for this since like fourth grade. No. Don't worry about him showing out. I got that.
I know how to handle this right here.
Oh, you have no idea. I got a whole notebook.
Oh, no.
Remember in fifth grade when you was wilding in class? Nah, this that too.
And remember when? Remember when you did this? Remember when you said?
Then people telling you to calm down.
That's right. What time is it? What time is it?
Nah, you're going too hard. You're going too hard.
Remember 6:35 p.m. Pacific Standard Time? You said. Yep. That's like that. In your notebook.
Well, we're going to have to get out of here before we get ourselves in trouble. I want to say, man, I really appreciate this. You know, we love having you. We're gonna do this again for show.
Yes, we are.
One of the day ones, people. One of the early family members.
Back before I was shiny. Because that's right. All shiny and new. And I can say the same thing for you guys. Thanks for always, like, supporting me and showing me love on social media and commenting and sharing all of my everything that I do. I appreciate it and I see it. And hence the reason why, not the reason why, but you were there for me from day one too. When, you know, I was getting, you know, a few interviews per month, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that because it's part of you're part of my story too. So you continue to be a part of my story. So we're going to get all shiny together.
We had so much fun recording this with Erin, and we can't thank her enough for stopping by. Please check out her music coming out this Friday, August 30th, and then check her out on Instagram and all other social media, and on Spotify and all the other DSPs. We want to thank all of you for listening, and we love every one of you. We couldn't do this without you. So until next time, love.